your eyes. Grace, mercy, peace, joy, and love are all of yours in abundance because of the work by the word of Christ Jesus, our Savior, God, and King. The word of God for our consideration on this, the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany. Those words are recorded for us in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. We read those earlier. Let me just direct you beginning at verse 5. Isaiah says, "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Who shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." So far our text, and we pray. Dearest Lord, just as Isaiah stood before you and proclaimed the sorrowful condition, we also stand in your presence confessing the same thing. Yet through your word and your work, you have taken away our guilt and atoned for our sins as well. May we continue to rejoice in our cleansed condition and be willing to answer the call to serve you and your people with the same words, "Here I am, send me." Bless us who gather in your name and feed us by your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. I do greet you all this morning in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, the one who is our Savior, our God, and our King, the one who has done and continues to do all things for us, for our good, and for his glory. I greet you as fellow sinners cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Are you good enough to make the team? Am I good enough to make the team? You know, that seems to be a question that many high school and college athletes ask themselves as they look to something greater. I'm sure they've pondered that, but let's say, for example, a Division I college team or even a professional team is looking for football players. I assume that some of these guys have pondered, "Am I good enough to make the team?" We see that coaches and staff send out scouts. They look and they watch and they review tapes and they begin to organize who could be potentially good enough to be on the team. So who is good enough? I guess it depends on that team and what position they're hoping to fill. But what are the chances of a high school student actually making a D1 football team? Well, you go to the internet and it'll tell you all sorts of things. And here's what I found out. You're a high school senior who's hoping to make a D1 school. He has a 1 out of 17 chance to make a D1 school. And if that college senior who survived his football years in a D1 school wanted to be drafted into the pros, he's got a 1 out of 5 chance out of that group of people. Here's the way it boils down. That means roughly if you're a high school senior with a desire to play professional football, you have a 9 out of 10,000 chance to make the team. Which really says that roughly 99% of those football people in high school are going to go pro in something else besides football. So they need to concentrate their efforts on education and skills and relationships, because most of them aren't going to be good enough to make the team. Not really a good number if you want to be on the top of the professional pile. This morning, we see another team being formed. We see with the eyes of faith, and we listen to the words of Isaiah as he enters the throne room of God. This morning, we're reminded how God chose Isaiah to be on the team. A couple things we need to know about Isaiah. He wasn't trying out for the prophet team. He wasn't seeking to be on the top list of preachers. Now, we know very little about Isaiah, very little about his skills. We know that he was married, had a couple of children, seems to have had some sort of duties that put him into the royal court serving somehow or another. And I guess, truthfully speaking, God doesn't want us to focus on Isaiah the man, but on the words of God through the mouth of Isaiah. So for that reason, we don't know much about this prophet. So was Isaiah good enough to make the prophet team, the power team, the servants team? The truth is, Isaiah was not good enough in the eyes of God to be a prophet, to be a player, or to even be the water boy. Isaiah was a sinful creature, guilt-laden, and unable to make the team that he wasn't trying out for to begin with. There was nothing good in Isaiah that God should choose him to be a spokesman. Isaiah was not holy enough. Isaiah was not worthy to stand before God. Isaiah was not, by his own doing, good enough to be on God's holy team. You see, God knew that Isaiah was unholy and unworthy and not even necessary, didn't need him on the team. But God, in his infinite wisdom, chose Isaiah. I want you, Isaiah, to be on my team. I want you to be a spokesman. I want you to be my prophet. I want you to speak my word loud and strong. And I will empower you to do so. In the verses before us today, Isaiah notes, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. Isaiah was in the temple of God, and he saw the all-powerful Lord of all creation. His greatness filled the entire temple. Isaiah, staying barely within sight of the door, could see what was going on. He saw these fiery creatures, can be translated the word seraphs. He saw them hovering near the Almighty. By their actions, it seemed that they were cloaking their face before the Almighty. In humbleness, they covered their feet, and with the other two wings, they flew to serve him. The six-winged seraphs were calling to one another, saying in a loud voice, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. And what a sight and sound that must have been. And the fear was deep within Isaiah. There he stood, there he knelt, there he was before the God Almighty, the creator of all things. It shook Isaiah to his core. He was in the presence of God. It was obvious, at least to Isaiah, and certainly to God, that he was unworthy to be there. His sin and his guilt shine brightly in the light of God's holiness. Made him confess, "Woe to me," I cried. "I'm ruined. I'm dead. I'm done for." Standing in the holy presence of God, the light was all consuming. For God had said, "No one can see my face and live." No sinful person can stand in the presence of God. And Isaiah was correct when he said, "I am ruined. I am dead. I am in the presence of God." No one can stand in the presence of God unless he has been made pure, perfect, and holy. And Isaiah was far from it. At the command of God, one of the seraphs flew toward Isaiah with a live coal in his hand that he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He flew to Isaiah, and with it he touched his mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for." By the command of God, the seraphs responded. And by the work of God, Isaiah was declared holy. His guilt removed. His sin atoned for. He was not going to die. He was not ruined. He was not going to be consumed. In the eyes of God, Isaiah was made holy. So we pause for a minute. What'll it be like for you and me, fellow sinners, to be in the presence of God? What will you feel like? Will you dance for joy? Or will the bright light of God's holiness shine on you? Will you tremble like Isaiah? "I am ruined." What will it be like? If this gives us any sort of picture, we should come before God with fear and trembling. But we also get another picture as well. That unless we are made pure and holy, we would be ruined. But I'm pleased and I'm excited to tell you that when you and I enter the throne room of God and we stand before Him or kneel before Him, we will not have fear, because you've already been made pure and holy. Through the perfect life of Christ Jesus, His suffering and His death, His glorious resurrection, your sins already atoned for. Your guilt has been removed. If you trust and believe and follow Him, He says, "Don't worry. When you come into the presence of the Almighty, I am there. And He will look at you, but He will look at what I did for you. Covered you in a robe of righteousness, called you my own, and made you holy. There is no fear, for I am with you. And I've done everything for you." Christ Jesus says, "Come, follow me. Trust in me. Believe in me. I've got everything taken care of. In the eyes of my Father, you are holy, because I made you that way. I took your place. I took away your sin. I covered your guilt. I made you mine. And I have prepared a place in heaven for you if you simply believe, trust, and follow me." What a comfort that is for us, as we know that one day we will stand before the Almighty. We have no fear. We are not ruined, because Christ Jesus has saved us. Interesting, as we look at this piece of Scripture, something else happened that day. Not only was Isaiah made clean and holy, and his guilt removed, his sin taken away, but Isaiah heard the voice of God. The Lord said, "Whom shall I send? and who will go for us? Who will be the messenger? Who will speak the word? Who will go as far as they can and share the gospel message of salvation? Who will do this? Who, in whatever capacity they have been given, who will preach and teach? Who will lead by example? Who will be strong in prayer? Who will call sin, sin, and the glory of God, salvation? Who will do this? Can you almost picture Isaiah? Ooh, ooh, send me! Isaiah cries out. Here am I. I can do it. I guess the question for us, who have had our sin atoned for and our guilt removed, when the question comes forward, whom shall I send? Will you and I eagerly respond with that of Isaiah? Here am I. Send me. I can do it. Whatever you want, I can do it. Empowered by you, I can do it. Encouraged by you, I can do it. Guided by you, I can do all things because you give me strength. Are you ready to answer the call? For you've been placed in unique situations. There's a man, a woman, or a child that needs to hear from you about the comfort of salvation, about the joy of Christ, about the promise of eternal life in heaven. It's time for you to say, here am I. Send me. Empower me, and I can do all things. Here am I. Send me. We should answer in the same way when we hear the voice of calling us today. Who will go and serve? I will. Will you? Isaiah understood what it was like to have sin and guilt atoned for. You and I should have that same understanding. And we should have the same desire to go and serve. As I was pondering this, I couldn't help but think of the words in Psalm number 84. Perhaps you'll find these applicable as well. The psalmist writes in verse 10 through 12, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. May we all be blessed as we serve our God in whatever capacity possible. Amen. Amen. We rise. Dearest Lord, we thank you for making us holy, so that we may now use the gifts that you have given us, our time, our skills, and our offerings, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to all people. In your name we rejoice and pray. Amen. Having heard God's word, I invite you to open your hymnal to page 41. Let's confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed as you find printed on page 41. The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.